Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is Tuesday, November 22nd. 2 days before Turkey Day in the year 2011, and we're broadcasting from our studio in the Feeding Arizona complex in Youngtown, Arizona. We'll be getting to our guests in just a minute. Before I do that, I want to invite everybody and all of our listeners to go to boomerandthebabe.com, see that everything that the Boomer and the Babe is involved in, including promotional products, videos for your website, mini books, e-books, and, of course, this radio show. And we also have ebook authors that have their own shows on Blog Talk Radio, Boomer and the Babe Network, right here during the course of the week. So be sure to check us out as well. I want to remind everybody, in addition, that it's not too late yet to make a donation to the Valley View Community Food Bank. Thanksgiving is a couple of days away. If you'd like to send checks, whatever you'd like to send as far as monetary donations, you can go to their website at valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com, get all the information from them and how to make that donation and so on and so forth. If you're in the sound of my voice and you are local to the Phoenix area, there's still time and need for turkeys and other Thanksgiving goods. Believe me, the line is outside our door. It is all the way down the block. I mean, way down the block, to the point that the local gendarmes had to block off the road. There are that many people, hundreds and hundreds of people, that are in need of food for this Thanksgiving. And they were doing it yesterday, today, and I do believe they're going to be doing it again tomorrow. So help replenish the foodstuffs for Thanksgiving, and also help Jesse get his annual Thanksgiving dinner together that he does for hundreds of people on Thanksgiving Day. With that, I just want to welcome Deborah Brown back. Deborah is here. I'm Pete Peters.
And I'm Deborah Brown.
There's that voice. There's the voice. She's not been with us. She's been working tirelessly on a couple of other projects. And the lady she has as her guest today is involved in one of those, and I'm sure they'll get to that later. But right now, Deborah, I'm going to say take it away with your guest and introduce your guest. And I'm going to turn my volume down and just listen. So have a great day.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that, Pete. First of all, welcome, Diane Newman. Thank you so much for being with us. And Diane, I'm going to actually do something that helps our listeners find out who you are without my kind of stealing your thunder, if you will. So what I'm going to ask you to do is give what I call your two-minute movie, and that is your life, laser beam style, but going back as far back as you'd like to go and coming forward to today with being on the radio with me. So please, Diane, give us your two-minute movie and welcome.
Oh, thank you. Oh, this is a surprising question, so you may have to cut me off if I can do it in 2 minutes. I'll try. Okay, so in present time, I'll work in present time, I'm an artist, and I paint, and I run and teach, facilitate painting workshops. And what happened is when I was a little girl, I was into the arts and dance and theater, and then I went to college and totally forgot that I was into the arts. And then I was in college, I got married, I had children, and then one day, standing in my home near my office, I went into the mental health fields. I had an aha. I go, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do my art. So I closed my little practice. I went back to school and to touch and feel the different mediums, and then just started making art. So that's a short little history on what I did to get to where I am today. How's that?
Well, That's awesome. And I don't even think it was 2 minutes. So we'll now have to do a little exploring, a little peeling back some layers, because I heard some things in there. First of all, what's interesting to me is that you had an aha moment and you didn't ignore it.
Right.
And you took that moment and created some transformation around yourself and around your life. And I know that your journey and your personal transformation probably shows up in your artwork. Is that true?
I think so. I think when I started to do my work, since I was, 45, pushing 50, I was already mature, quote-unquote, raising a family,
sure,
having children. So I believe that my work started from a more mature point, if that makes any sense. You know, quite often, young artists, they will be followed by collectors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and they wait for them to mature in their art. So I really believe that my art started from a mature viewpoint, if that makes any sense. So,
well, if you think about Grandma Moses, her art started at a very mature age in her chronological age. But what you're talking about really is a maturity and a fullness in the art as you're presenting it now, which I'm going to guess has to do with your life experiences, perhaps, and just the fact that you've been there, done that, had marriage and children and life and a practice and all that stuff. And I think you're right. I think you do have a different outlook after you've had life, right, than if you had just been 20 years old starting your art. Is that kind of what you're saying, too?
Right. And the art itself was more developed. If we put that developed into maturity type of thing, I believe that's how my artwork. Now, I'm an abstract painter. So to identify representational things in my work is a bit difficult because I'm an abstract painter. So, how do I explain that? But just as an art thing, the development in abstract painting as well as representational painting is that what makes really good work, I believe, is that you use all the formal principles that one might be taught or you learn on your own in art school, and it applies to abstract work as well as representational work. Does that make any sense?
It does, but it kind of makes me want to ask another question, and I hope you're not going to think I'm an absolute idiot, but it sure seems like when I see some abstract art, I look at it and I go, I could have done that, but I know that's not true.
Right,
so why
right.
is it that I can look at something and say, I could have done that? What is the formal training that somebody has that can do a beautiful abstract and have people actually pay for it, whereas somebody like me feels like I can just throw some stuff up and it's good enough, which I would never do that. But you know what I'm saying? What is the difference?
Oh, gosh. Well, first I'll say the way to really understand it is to come to one of my painting workshops.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Some people could come, but I don't necessarily enforce abstract painting. I teach them a tool. And when they have a tool to use with abstract work or representational work, it's a really wonderful thing. But you also get the experience of painting. That really helps. So I'll go back to your question. What makes a good painting is color, composition, harmony, line work, all those things that would be in a representational painting. And it does apply to abstract work. And I think we all go back and we go, oh, I can do that, because when we're children, how we throw paint and have fun and everything, and it looks like an abstract painting. But there really is a difference between a good abstract painting and a fair one because of the formal principles that are applied. Is that
so
clear?
So frankly, just hearing the words color, composition, harmony, I bulleted them as I was taking notes as you were talking, because this is very interesting to me. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, there would be more to it then, isn't there? it's sort of like if you are trying to do floral arrangements, and, there's the beautiful ones that are the Japanese style that are three elements in a certain way. You don't just slam things into a flower pot or a bowl and say, okay, that's it, if you're trying to do it from almost like the formal training. So that's a very interesting thing. That's very mm-hmm. interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have the perfect joy, and I mean it is joy, to have grandchildren. I know you have one?
I have four.
Oh, you have four. Well, I have two.
Uh-huh.
And watching them do their artwork – is an absolute joy. That's what I was going to say. And I'm sure that you have the same experience watching your grandchildren put their ideas on paper. You know, how is that working out for you as far as does that give you the idea that maybe some of them are going to be artists, or are all children artists?
Oh, I think everyone is an artist. You know, may it be with hands-on painting or photography or writing or anything in creative, you know. And the children, my thing is, it's really, really funny, is that I have to stop myself from giving them direction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I let them paint and throw on the paint. And, you know, maybe once in a while I'll say, oh, go paint all the way to the edges. You know, get that paint all the way over there. But I have to stop myself so that I'm not instructing them unnecessarily. Because they're so free, you know.
Yes. Well, my little 5-year-old Reese is what I would consider a genius in the making. Well, she is a genius now, and I just believe that she's always going to be that. I think that's just the way it is.
Right.
But she will do a beautiful color, a beautiful drawing of some kind, and then put the story with it. And because I am more of a wordsmith and an editor and things like that, my impulse is not to say stay within the lines or put color here. My impulse is to change the spelling, you know, edit as we go. And, you know, for a 5-year-old, that would certainly be squelching, which I would never, never, ever do, because it is absolutely priceless to see her put that stuff on paper and then, you know, pull these wonderful thoughts out of her mind, and then she has that forever, and of course it's hanging on the refrigerator. And you know, I just think it's such a nice thing to watch that, you know. And you're right, you cannot squelch and give direction to a child. But how about with your students? Are you strict in some things, or is it all just whatever flows?
Well, what happens is the workshops are all experiential. And the only instruction I really give them is I teach what I do, and I work in layers of transparent colors that I create. So it's a tool that I use. The masters actually used it, and I show them how to do it. It takes about 10 minutes. If I have a student there who's been before, I'll have them demonstrate it. And then they just go. I just let them go. And what you'll hear if you ask them, what does Diane say most of the time, Diane says, just keep painting.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to guess that the sense of satisfaction, the reason I'm saying this, the sense of satisfaction has got to be remarkable when one finishes, even when you don't think it's finished and you know this really needs to be finished.
Right,
I'm done. You know, do they hang their stuff? I mean, I would be hanging my stuff, that's for sure.
Yes. Well, one of the questions I ask them towards the end of the workshop when they're finished their painting, I'll go, so would you hang this in your house? Okay. If they don't want to hang it in their house, then we just continue to work on it. And I lost my train of thought for a second. So ask me again.
Well, I think that's exactly, would you hang it in your house? Now, I've had one experience that I'd like to share real quickly about that sense of satisfaction. I took an Art 101 class, and I haven't had much art at all. I don't consider myself artistic until this class. And we had to go to the museum, and at the time I lived in Honolulu, and we had to go to the museum in Honolulu and choose a painting by one of the masters, do a drawing in pencil, and then go home and render it in a collage using torn up pieces of magazines and, you know, all these beautiful colors, and put it together. Is it a collage? I think is that a collage or a montage or a whatever?
Yeah,
anyway,
mm-hmm.
Collage, yeah. Well, I waited until the weekend before it was due on Monday, and I started it on Friday. And I did Gauguin's Nudes on the Beach. And I mean, I have never, ever worked so hard to finish something in my life. And I did turn it in. I got an A, and it hung in. They framed it, by the way, and hung it in the dean's office for 6 months.
Oh, how cool.
Now, what I also know is I cheated, because I, instead of just doing the pencil drawing, I actually grabbed the postcard so I could take it home and actually have the colors right there that I
That's
needed.
That's not cheating. Every artist's process is different. Every artist.
Okay, I processed it. That's how I processed it.
Uh-huh.
But it was so much fun. And you know, that thing hangs in my house everywhere we move.
Oh.
We hang it up because it was amazing. It is amazing. So I think when you give yourself a chance to get into a class like yours and say, help me do this until I'm ready to hang it, you know, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I like that. And I also like the fact that you're having fun doing it. I'm sure that your class is about having fun first, right?
You bet. You bet. We have fun. We have fun. It's really important to have fun, you know. Do your passion, have fun. Of course, angst comes up. It's just part of the process. But it's just fun doing it, you know.
Now, what, let me ask you this. When you personally decide to start an abstract painting, do you have an emotion that you're evoking? Do you have a theme that it's going to be when you're looking at it later? How does that work? I don't understand what to do with that.
Okay, so my process is, how do I explain it? My whole art for me is about letting go, surrender and letting go. So I approach a blank canvas with no thought in mind, if that's possible, you know what I mean? And I'll go to it, and maybe I'll have a color in mind just to start, and I'll just paint, and then I'll just go with it. I'll just paint, until I feel that it's getting towards the end, which is, in the beginning of my painting experience, I didn't even know that would be happening. You know, how do you even know your painting's done? But now I get close to knowing it's going to be done, then I stand back and I critique it. And I critique it with all the formal principles that I am aware of. And then I tweak it that way. It's the only linear time I get into my painting. And then it's done. But it was not always that way.
So for me to repeat that back to you, what I would be doing then is like a core dump out of my brain and my emotions onto the canvas, step back and say, color, composition, harmony, not so much, and go back in and kind of tweak it until it was done.
Yes, that would be to simplify it, yeah. Yeah.
Of course it's simplified. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
But see, that's my process. So when the students come, they don't do my process necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, art is many different processes. You know, people can plan their paintings first, even abstract work, and just go for it. So I talk a lot about that, even though I don't talk a lot in the workshops, but about how it's their own process. Whatever they're doing is how they create their wonderful things.
Now, is this all done with just brushes?
No, you can use brushes, sticks, paper, leaves, anything you can find in my studio.
Oh, like a crunched-up paper bag. I've seen something where if you crunch up a paper bag or even a plastic bag, you can get some very interesting dynamics in paint on our hands.
Right, textures.
Texture, that's what I was trying to say.
Right, hands, whatever feels right, you know. And at the workshops, they usually try everything just because, you know, and it's quite fun. But I also use everything. So I really teach what I do. I have no secrets, and I'll show you anything I do. Because every artist is different, so I'm not concerned about somebody stealing what I do because it's never the same. Does that make sense?
Now, yeah, it does. So I also know that one of the themes that goes through your work is that striving for balance and connection and relationship between the worlds of the spiritual and the physical. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Okay. Good one. So when I'm, let's see, so I'm working at, well, it's my nature, I'm spiritually oriented, so it's my nature to do that kind of work. And for some reason, the pieces, they come out that way, you know, about the universes and the messengers, and so that's my interpretation of what I do. And I'm always striving for balance in my life. So, and that's part of the artwork anyway, is balance. It's one of the rules.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, when you decide at 45, 50 years old to stop what you've been doing for work and do something completely different, that's kind of a transition that a lot of people are making, some by choice at that age, you know, but some are realizing that because their job is no longer doing what it needs to do and their 401k doesn't you know, give them the lifestyle, and they can see that they've got to do something different. So they figure out, okay, if I can make my passion and my work in the same place, that's a good thing. And that's a very boomer kind of outlook, you know, in my opinion. But it really is stepping outside your comfort zone a lot. When you decided to give up your practice and go into the arts, was there a moment where you went, wow, I don't know if I can do this, or did you just know that you had it in you and you went for it?
I just went for it. I had no other thought, but it's time to do this. It's like I was standing in my kitchen, and I just got the thought. I go, wow, and that was it. There was nothing stopping me, and I still had a young child at that time. My youngest was five or three, something like that, and I just took him along for the ride. So I ended up raising him, excuse me, differently than my two older ones, according to my two older ones, of course. You
mm-hmm.
know. And you know, I just went with it. You know, the world just came with me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, I know that we are both involved in a... Well, no, before I start that one, excuse me, I did want to have one other question or a couple other questions about how your workshops work. I know some of them are probably locally where you live, but you also go somewhere else. So why don't you tell us how your workshops work? Because I know you have some one-day, two-day, week-long. It just sounds really amazingly fun and spectacular.
Okay, so this is what I do. I live in Northern California in Mendocino County, and I do workshops here once a month starting in June through November, and they're weekends. So folks come, and they spend the whole weekend with me, and they paint. Those are the ones here. Okay. Then I go to Mexico, and I do workshops down there called Workshops on the Fly, where people who are coming on holiday or if they're there on holiday can come into the studio and schedule 2 days with me on their vacation. So those are the ones down there. Then about every other year, I do 8-night, 7-day workshops, and I've done them in California, Mexico, and France. So that's what I do.
Wow. So not only can a person have a wonderful trip abroad and have that cultural experience and all the sightseeing and all that stuff, they can also get in touch with whatever creativity they may have not noticed before or brought to the fore and really have an amazing trip. That sounds outstanding.
It's way fun.
How long have you been doing the actual trips abroad like that?
Oh, I think about 8 years. I think 8 years.
Wow.
I started the workshop about 8 years ago, let's see. And I started going down to Mexico. No, I think about 8 years. So.
Do you ever have any of your students do an actual art show based on some work that they've started with you?
Yes.
Anybody ever had?
I have several students that have turned professional, which is really exciting, really exciting. They have. They've taken their work and they've gone out there and started, and there you go.
That's amazing. All right, so let me know, first of all, how do people get in touch with you? We'll kind of put that in here now, and then I've got a couple other questions, and then we'll put it in again at the end. But how do people get in touch with you if they want to explore more about your work and what you can do with them and these trips?
Yeah, they can go to my website, which is, should I give it to you?
Go ahead, yes, absolutely.
www.dngallery.com.
So it's www.dlikedognlikenancygallery.com, or better yet, Diane Newman. www.dngallery.com. Okay. And then what will they find there? Are there classes and information? Because, frankly, I need to go there myself.
Right. They'll find the galleries of my work, the archival work, my present work, my workshops, explanation, dates, and you can reach me in contact. Yeah.
Okay.
And they can contact me. So if the dates are not all posted for next year, then you just contact me, and I give you two. So they get posted on there.
All right. Now, I hope I'm not going to ask you a question that throws you off, because it might, but do you have a favorite painting that you have ever completed, and does it have a story?
Oh, my God. Almost every painting I have has a story. Yes, I do. I have a painting called Firecracker Katie, and this painting was done in honor of my little granddaughter, who is now 4, who was born at 1.6 ounces.
Oh, my word.
I know. It's an incredible painting. It's an incredible story, and I want to donate this painting. What a wonderful opportunity for me to be able to tell you this. And this painting, I want to be donated because the whole painting is about survival for me, you know, and my granddaughter. It's absolutely spectacular, and I want to donate it. I was going to donate it to the hospital that helped her, but they loved it, but they didn't like the colors. This sounds really weird for a hospital. They had too much red. Okay.
Oh.
So, 1.6 pounds. Sorry, I'm being corrected on her size. Anyhow, so this is the painting. It's called Firecracker Katie. It's just spectacular. I don't know what else I can tell you about.
Tell me the name of the painting again.
Firecracker Katie.
Firecracker Katie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how old is this child now?
4.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. And, you know, 1.6 ounces, my goodness.
Yeah, 1 pound, 6 ounces.
I mean, that's what I meant, 1 pound, 6 ounces. Yeah, that's a tiny, tiny little angel. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
You guys must have been so worried and so focused on, you know, that child living.
I know. It was incredible. It was spectacular what she did. She was so powerful and mindful about survival, you know, what she had to do. And she fought the doctors and she fought the nurses and, you know, incredible. The whole experience was incredible. But she's here now, and she's still just as feisty. They wrote the book on Terrible Twos just for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was the star. And her nature is still like that. You know, don't mess with me. You know, she's incredible.
Right. Right. Well, I love the words that you just used about Katie, and it really works for as a metaphor for all of us, frankly, and that is powerful and mindful of survival. And I think if our painting or our writing or our contributions, whatever they are, embody those kinds of important things, which is why your painting is probably so powerful, the Firecracker Katie, you know, I just can't imagine anything but somebody wanting it except that it's too red, you know. I know you'll figure out. Pardon me?
It was just the hospital.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I understand that.
Yeah. I should put on my website. You know, I don't even have a photograph on my website, I don't think. I just thought about that while I'm talking to you.
Well, there you go. Because if you want to donate it, the right person will come, and, you know, that it just will. And now that we've actually said it out loud, that's going to happen. So congratulations on that. I'm glad I asked that question. I don't even know where it came from. Well, yes, I do.
Oh, that's a crazy
There are no accidents, are there?
No, and there's so much of a story that goes with it, with the fairies and the this and the that. Oh, my gosh, and I have it written up. I'm going to put it all on my website. I really appreciate you asking me the question.
You are very welcome, and I think it is a good example of where inspiration comes and what we do with it and then what it can do for others later down the road. You know, like sort of like, we have the inspiration. This is my idea. We have the inspiration. We do what we're going to do with it, birthing it, if you will. And then maybe it's the passing it along and moving it forward and paying it forward that really is the most important part. And then when we give it away, you know, that final product, when we give it away, that, mm-hmm. that wonderful power and mindfulness of whatever goes forward with it. Doesn't that sound nice?
Oh, I want to comment on something. May I? Yes.
Yes.
You said pay it forward, and I would been thinking about the painting and paying it forward, meaning that I was thinking instead of donating, this is really funny, this is Diane, okay, that I would sell it to a person who would then donate it. And then the money, I would take the money from the sale and donate that to my granddaughter for her education.
All right. Well, let me give you an example of something that is similar to that, and you're absolutely on the right track, in my opinion. Pete and I went to a what was it? It was the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction, and a gentleman was donating the car that actually he was in an accident in, the very car, but he was donating it. And let's see, the first bid on it was like $250,000. The person that bought it called in and said, I'd like to donate it back, run it again. Then it was another $250,000. And the guy called in and said, I'd like to donate it again. So they kept rotating the same car, but they made money, like, you know, $750,000 on that same car, and then gave it to the foundation.
Wow.
See what I mean? So that's a model that, you know, if you want to do that, go for it. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So there you go. All right. So the other thing is, you and I are involved in something that is one of my favorite projects that I have ever been involved in, and that is the Spirited Woman 2012 Directory Resources for an Inspired Life. And what is your experience of, like, how you got into it and what you thought it was and what you know it is today?
Okay. Well, I got in it. I was approached by Nancy, who's the creator, who I had met in Los Angeles almost 2 years ago.
And that's Nancy Mills. Uh-huh.
Yes, Nancy Mills, the creator of the magazine and the incredible website, The Spirited Woman. And she approached me and invited me to be a presenter in this new magazine that she had this great idea to put online, et cetera, et cetera. So in the beginning, you know, she's chatting with me and everything. I thought, okay, well, this is a great opportunity to support Nancy in her new endeavor and to do some wonderful advertising for myself. Okay, that's what I thought. So one thing leads to the other as this whole project developed, and it moved from just a straight linear advertising opportunity into this incredible ability for me and others to network around the world and, you know, help each other and do collaborative things together, and just an amazing thing that I had no idea that's what it was about when I first started.
Isn't that kind of a metaphor for life?
Yes.
We think of things in linear terms, you know, I'm going to get my degree, I'm going to get a job, I'm going to do this, and it's all a straight line, right? And life does not work that way. But
no.
What I love is the collaboration that you just mentioned and the global nature. I know that there are people in the this publication, which will launch, by the way, on 12/12 of 2011 for 2012. And as you mentioned, it is a magazine-style, you know, page-turning kind of publication that is going to be downloadable and embeddable. If you wanted to embed the code once it comes out, you'll be able to put it on your own website, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody else can do the same. And it's absolutely amazing. It's full of inspiring stories, tips, resources, and the stories like yours and other people who are these the ones that are in the actual magazine part, my goodness, the women of the world are going to be so delighted to find out these wonderful stories. And I know that because I've read some of them already. I've been privileged to be able to do that. And I know that if people go to facebook.com/thespiritedwoman, they're going to be able to kind of watch for things to start to happen at that, and also thespiritedwoman.com. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about the directory and your feelings about it?
The energy is amazing. You know, I already connected to people energetically and online and helping each other. I mean, it's been an incredible experience. I mean, connecting with you, right? It's just, and
yes,
other women and the wonderful. It's just amazing. I'm speechless. How's that? Hard to get my answer.
Well, we can't be speechless on a radio program because that doesn't work as much as the talking. It would be sort of like, I have nothing to put on canvas. I am paintless. No, you can't do that.
Right.
No, but I understand it. And I really do appreciate the women that I have gotten to meet. And, of course, Nancy Mills is the head visionary, if you will, on this amazing project to gather what we're calling, and she's calling, the Every Woman Visionary. And what that means is, what's really cool, is literally every woman on the planet is a visionary in some way. And to be able to identify certain ones who have a message and a product and a service that is in alignment with that vision, you know, to do wonderful things in the world, one spirited woman step at a time, as Nancy says, is great, but it's also nice to be able to self-identify as a spirited woman, you know, every woman visionary. And, you know, I think a certain amount of maturity, maybe it takes that, you know, to say, yeah, I'm a visionary. So do you feel like a visionary, my dear?
Yes.
Thank you. I knew you. I was hoping you were going to say yes. If you had said no, I was going to have to hang up. I was going to say, oh, no.
No.
How did that happen? No, it's great. And you're right. The energy and the enthusiasm and excitement kind of spills over into everything else we're doing. And I'll tell you why. We have to be ready for the people. It's sort of like getting my grandmother used to get it. When we had company coming, we'd all have to get ready for people. And, you know, our websites have to be ready and our social media has to be ready. And it's a wonderful thing to kind of be put on notice, you know, that people are coming. And 2012 is going to be an amazing year. Do you have any sense of 2012 being an amazing year coming?
My birthday is 12/12.
So, what?
Yeah, I know. December 12th. Is that amazing?
Oh, you're kidding me. I did not know that. Your birthday is 12/12/2012?
Yeah, it'll
wow.
be 12. It'll be, yeah, it's 12/12 this year.
I know, but I'm just saying 12/12/2012 is going to be an amazing birthday. Well, 12/12/11 is going to be an amazing birthday because it's the launch of the directory and everything else. Well, happy birthday, and I'm sure that I'll be telling you that myself, you know, that day, but spectacular.
You. Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't think of anything else to say about the directory except that, you know, people should definitely look at thespiritedwoman.com, and they'll be able to find information about you once it launches.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else to share about your art or your classes or your thoughts for mankind? And I don't care what it is. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I'll give you my thoughts about the Spirited Directory and my art.
Awesome.
This, I say the self. I go, self, I go, okay, so this project is happening and I'm really connected and okay, fine. So now am I ready? Am I prepared? Meaning, so there'll be an influx of more energy and more folks, right?
Yes.
To me, for what my services, let's say, you know, selling my art, doing my workshops, and I go, how do I fit that in? How do I make more space to have all this come in, you know? So I'm still sitting with that, and I'm waiting for it to just open itself up to me. You know what I mean? Like, I do my workshops, you know, I have dates, I do them regularly, right? I do bodies of work. I basically do two bodies of work a year. I mean, that's like a lot. And I'm going, well, it'd be great to sell more. Well, what's my choice? What do I do? You know, so it's like almost like a mystery for me. And so I'm just sitting with it and letting it happen. And I'll let you know what happens.
Well, you're right. And again, you know, it's that trying to make something linear out of something that is going to be flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't do it. We even no matter when we try to draw the boxes around and try to draw straight lines, it's never going to work. Because life gets its way, you know? Just the same thing with having a beautiful Katie born at 1 pound, 6 ounces. That was not supposed to be that way, but, you know, it was.
Right.
And this is the same stuff, you know? But I think the fact that we are on notice, you know, there are going to be people waiting for our message, people ready to receive, and we will sit, like, I have to sit too, because I've got listings in the directory myself, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've got listings, and I've got to make sure that website points to the right thing. And so, but you know what? We've got a month, or no, we don't. Well, whatever it is, we've got plenty of time.
I know.
So,
I know. This is a stretch for me, and it's a challenge doing all this incredible social networking and everything. Oh my God.
Yes, it's great though. It's wonderful because we're able to use the technology, and the fact that women are waiting. Really, women are waiting for not direction, but inspiration. You know, they're waiting for, well, women are inspired, and that collaboration that we can all share is going to be fantastic. So not to worry. I'm not worried. We just know that we have things to do over the weekend. You know, so.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. I know that people will definitely enjoy looking at your website. I'm going to be interested to check it later, not today, but soon, and see what you've done with your artwork that you want to sell or donate or pay it forward, that whole process. I'm glad I was able to offer some inspiration. See, if I hadn't asked that question, who knows, right?
No, thank you so much. And I'm going to get that up there. So it's not on that website, so I'm going to get it up there in a couple
okay.
of days.
All right. All right. Well, give us your contact information one more time, and then Pete will sign us out.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
My pleasure.
And hello to my friends who are listening. I told them I'd say hello. Okay.
Fantastic.
Okay. So it's www.dnegallery.com. Diane Newman.
All right, Diane. Diane, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thanks for joining us today, Diane. And as always, we've given our listeners something to talk about and something to listen to. Deborah did a great job speaking with Diane. You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. Today, we brought you that information and conversation with Diane Newman, artist. And you can listen to the Boomer the Babe Show every day here Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, we do much more than host this radio show on Blog Talk. Check us out at boomerandthebabe.com. See everything that makes up the Boomer and the Babe, the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated, and see all of the parts that move for the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. Tomorrow's programming, we have two programs scheduled for tomorrow. One is our host, Tom Legering and Terry Munther, with Success or Failure, the Choice of Yours. The Choice is Yours, and at 12 p.m., Eileen Proctor with Fervently Speaking, all about pets. So join us for those two shows tomorrow, one at 9 and one at 12 noon in Arizona. And be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And have a great day, everybody. Boomer and the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversations to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as PetePeters47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.